will go as long as we follow in the way that God is leading. We know God's reign will surely come. As long as we hope there's a future for creation, we know God's reign will surely come.
Sing back what you hear.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, you gave the holy apostles many gifts and commanded them to feed your flock. Inspire all pastors to proclaim your word diligently and your people to receive it willingly, that finally we may receive the crown of eternal glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Our first reading is from Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, you sentinels, lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 84, how beautiful is your dwelling place.
How beautiful is your dwelling place.
A reading from Romans. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one in body in Christ, and individually we are members of one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he had said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the beginning of a sermon. I love this part. Readings are read, and a preacher stands up and proposes to say something
something that is intended to make all the difference in the world. In my perfect world of congregations, the cosmos turns and locks in focused anticipation. Bring us a word, they say. Bring us the word. Show us Jesus, and it will change everything. What a good moment of expectation, of hope for all us dying, all of us primed by the Holy Spirit for the intervention of God. All we need is one good word. One word that redefines the world and rebalances the ancient scales of truth and justice and mercy. And if possible, redefines the possibilities for hope. We need a word that proposes a way in the wilderness of lives hung in the balance between knowing too much from our history and not knowing enough of the unwritten history that begins now. We're in the soup, you know. We need a word. We need a lifesaver. I need it too. And so we begin. Listen. Listen. Be open, O my heart. Listen. Be open, O my heart. Today we install a pastor, a new village pastor. Today we commit ourselves to one we ask to bring us the word we need. Today the promises exchanged by pastor and people form the fertile foundation for speaking and hearing the truth about us. It is the word of life. This pastor will be asked to remember his promises from another day. The day of ordination, when gathered in just like this, perhaps, another group of hungry people sat in expectation and dared set aside this frail man to bring a word of hope. The word that doesn't change the world, but overcomes the sorrows of the world. A word that doesn't try and predict or cure the world, follows Jesus, who is himself the very word of God's own self. Here is the work of a pastor, in the words of Edmund Schlenk, a Lutheran theologian. At one and the same time, the pastor represents Christ to the church in the exercise of leadership. And the pastor represents Christ in being the bond of unity in the church. The church, the pastor will stand with Christ over against the church and will stand with the members of the church as a sinner who lives by forgiveness. This pastor's person is nothing. The witness is everything. The pastor lives by service of the people and by intercession of the people. The pastor is sent for this service and has preeminence as a leader, but it is the preeminence of the crucified. This leader will stand with all church members under the grace and judgment of God. As the pastor's preeminence is founded on the crucified one, the pastor will be humbled as never before. Ordination, and now installation, means the end of personal plans. It means the end of ambition. It means the end of methods. It means that Christ intends to shepherd this flock through this called servant, who is unworthy in human terms, but becomes worthy through the dignity bestowed in forgiveness, becomes capable through the Spirit's working, and is filled with authority arising from this call and the ever new appropriation of the call through the stirring up of this gift of the Spirit that has been given in the laying on of hands. Bearing preeminence only by the crucified, we will ask this pastor to make promises. These promises are spoken into the darkness by one who can barely know the cost of such promises. Today, these promises will be made by one who has just arrived at Holden Village and is seeing, as if for the first time, the wonder and the chaos that is this strange and curious place. Scott, it may just as well be that you're just getting to know Holden. It makes you just like the rest of us. Oh, we harbor outrageous opinions that we know Holden, but the moment we left, it changed. And it changed again the moment we arrived back. The happy exchange of people constantly remakes this place, just as the happy exchange of sin for mercy constantly remakes each of us. To paraphrase Luther, we have not arrived, but we are on the way. Today, our mutual promises say we are on the way, together, pastor and people. This is the perfect place and the perfect time to declare the words, Body of Christ, from the book of Romans. Because under the intensity of this wilderness setting, it's perfectly clear that each gift is necessary for this ministry to flourish. Flourish? Survive. To survive, this ministry needs every gift. I will never forget the terror of our last day in the village, when for the first time we flew over this valley in a small airplane and saw how small this place is. How completely tiny Holden Village is in the National Forest and the wilderness area. This is a moat. This is a moat. It's a Jonah bobbing on the sea with chaos all around. We need one another. Listen to the winsome way that Eugene Peterson translates the words of Romans in the Message. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. Parts of his body. People of his body. Just as we summoned the saints a few days ago, summoned them by speaking their names into this wilderness, Today we invoke promises made by you and promises made for you, beginning with words your previous bishop, Stephen Bowman, might say on this occasion. You were baptized for this moment. Here is what the body of Christ says to you and asks of you, again in the translation from Peterson. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. As parts of the body that are here, others will cook for you. Others will tend the hydro. Others will keep the road safe and check the chlorine levels in the water. Believe it or not, someone else will keep you warm and prepare a summer program of stunning wonder. Others will tend the staff and sort the garbage. Someone here will tend to your health and make sure the money comes in and goes out with integrity and honesty. We will ask Lori to make art for us, to delight the eye and restore the soul in fulfillment of her calling, her gift. But no one else is called to preach. That is, declare day in and day out the wonders of God. Every other part of the body needs what you bring. So we welcome your promises. We can't make it without them. Nor can you live here without the explicit promises of this body. Together we are the body of Christ, set in a wilderness that, when you think of it, isn't any more scary or dark than the wilderness we carry around in our own hearts. Each heart here is sitting on the edge of chaos, leaning forward for the word which transfigures the world. The word we bear is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He has given his life, and now he gives his resurrection in promise to us. Each time our family drives east through Butte, Montana, I joke about the statue up on the ridge above town. It's flooded at night with light and with outstretched arms presides over the city. And then I remember, I think it's Mary, not our Lord. But I wanted always to be Jesus. The one called to be preacher at Holden Village is asked to preside over this place as Jesus would, with the benevolence of a healer who is also wounded. The one called to preach at Holden bears responsibility for blessing our way to bread and wine that we can eat, take in, transfiguring each of us into that same body which is Christ. Jesus says, feed my sheep. The one called to be preacher at Holden is asked to declare forgiveness and a blessing for each time we are caught, like Peter, in denial of the truth. Beyond declaring forgiveness, many will seek you out to assist in identifying their calling on behalf of the world. A calling that, like your own woundedness, reflects the truth and yet makes something new out of the scar tissue. In short, today we call you to the holy work of proclamation in the midst of this community. And we call you to companionship. That lovely word that in its origin means with bread, with breadship. Life together in the body of Christ. We are eager to hear your promises, and we are eager to offer you our own promises in this bond. Body of Christ. Thank you.
a regular congregation, this is the part where the really nervous president of the congregation comes forward with just a few lines to say and almost always blows it. But we need to certify that this call is a real one. And in fact, Scott's call is more complicated than you can possibly imagine. First of all of you who consider yourself members of Fullness of God Lutheran Church at Holden Village, would you stand? It's a tiny congregation, but has many members around the country. Yeah. Nope, keep standing now. Those of you in Fullness of God. And I'd like you to say the line in your bulletin. After prayerful deliberation, we of Fullness of God have called Scott Kirshner to be our pastor. Right? Together.
After prayerful deliberation,
that has issued a call to Scott, but Scott's call that comes attached with a little money comes from Holden Village. So all of the villagers of Holden Village, would you stand and we'll call Scott to the word. You know your line. Don't say the other parts.
After prayerful deliberation, we of Holden Village have called Scott.
I present him.
Good. Thank you. Now, because Holden Village is a separate corporation, it isn't really the ELCA, it's actually the Synod Council that is calling Scott. So I'd like all the Synod staff members who are here to stand and speak on behalf of the Eastern Washington and Idaho Synod Council. Synod staff, bishops, assistants, others, yes, Synod Council members. Where'd they all go?
Belinda.
Okay, you know your line. After prayerful deliberation,
we of Eastern Washington Synod Council have called Scott.
Thank you. Yeah. You are well called. We will turn and hear the readings.
A reading from John. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." A reading from Matthew. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
A reading from 1 Timothy. Set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. attend to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching, and do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. And put these things into practice. Devote yourselves to them so that all may see your progress. Pay a close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord.
God, in the presence of this assembly, will you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility in the confidence that it comes from God through the call of the church? If so, say, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you preach and teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures and with the confessions of the Lutheran Church? Will you carry out this ministry in harmony with the constitutions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and in your use of the means of grace? Will you love and serve and pray for God's people? Nourish them with the whole word and sacraments, and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Now, will you serve faithfully and show up on time for dish team and garbo, in addition to scraping your plate, making the bed, and generally cleaning up after yourself? Further, will you acquire a commercial driver's license and acquit your duties as a bus driver faithfully and well, including defending Holden buses from potential hijacking? Wait a minute. Graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them.
Amen.
People of God, will you receive Scott as a messenger of Jesus Christ, sent to serve God's people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard him as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God?
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Will you pray for him? Will you help and honor him for his work's sake? And in all things, this is always the hard one, strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Will you listen thoughtfully to his sermon? Will you be patient when they go on too long or veer wildly into left field or struggle to make a coherent
point? Yes, God, to help us.
Scott, the office of village pastor is now committed to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
God, in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Great and gracious God, your Holy Spirit equips the church with a rich variety of gifts. Grant that we may use them to bear witness to Christ in lives that are built on faith and love. Work your will in us and shine your love through us.
We pray to the Lord.
Amen.
God of abundance and new life, you richly provide us everything from the goodness of your creation. Protect the earth and its creatures from harm, and fill us with gratitude for all your gifts. Heal the wounds your people have inflicted on mountain and valley, in water and air, all around our world, and use our hands and our intellects to this end.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
God of our salvation, raise up those broken in body, heart, or mind into wholeness in your presence. Mend their wounds, comfort them in their distress. Give hope and peace where none seem possible. Bring your justice and peace to the war-torn, violence-filled, wrath-infused, and conflict-ridden places in our world.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We lift up our prayers to you, Almighty God, for Bishop Martin Wells, for Bishop Mark Hansen, for all those responsible for the care and nurture of your people, and for Pastor Scott Kirshner as he faithfully fulfills the duties of this ministry, serves your people, builds up your church, and glorifies your name. For what and for whom else do the people of God pray? This we ask, gracious God, together with all that is known to you alone, in the name of your risen and anointed Son, through the power of your life-giving Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
One word about our communion practice here at Holden. Our communion table is open to all, and you may come and eat at the Lord's, eat and drink at the Lord's table. We receive the bread in two lines, and then you may proceed either to the right or to the left, depending on which side you are sitting. And there are three ways to receive the wine or grape juice, as it were. The first chalice is a drinking chalice. If you would rather drink from an individual cup, you may take one. The first flagon will have wine to be poured, and the second will have grape juice. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Cherish them as your own, that also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others, and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us in this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing, until needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Now we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Go in peace and serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. If you wouldn't mind sitting down, I heard that there's a pastor installation happening today. Is that true? All right, then. The carpenters are here to install that, Pastor. Come on now. Get up. Now, don't take any breaks till coffee break now. Come on now. Get working. Bear with us for a little, people. We got to figure out exactly how this works. That's working?
Yes. I think there's some protective wrapping that goes.
Is that working?
It comes pretty fast.
That the foundation is very important. So you got your feet on the Christ rock there. But all that other stuff is sinking sand. Just stand up. Stand on the Christ rock, okay? All right.
Insulation. There are all these people here, so it's like no big deal. It's just insulation. Yeah. moved up out of the fist.
Once the irrigation is done, that it's time for his germination. So, let's...
Natalie, have you got the seeds?
I do, yeah. Let's germinate him.
You have to buy
lots of seeds
if you want germination.
Stop! No germination!
to check your recipe and add more gospel.
Can I have one, please?
Dessert.